Wow. I'm kind of like blown away. God could just show up this morning. God showed up this week with me in extremities. I had my worst moments that I've had in a long time. I had my best moments and my worst moments this week. How many often found in your life that some weeks will be your best times and your worst times combined? And sometimes it makes you wonder, is that really how it's supposed to be? but whatever it was good. Amen. Everybody say, it's good when it's good. It's bad when it's bad. But we choose the good. It's always better to choose the good and not the bad. Amen. So let's bring our focus now to the Lord. I want you to hold your hands out and close your eyes. No one speaking, please. Just begin to focus. We ask for your presence, your glory. We welcome you. Welcome the angels. Cloud of witnesses. Thank you, Father. More, Lord. More, Lord. Amen. Wow. Now you can relax. Relax. The Lord is with you. Chill out. Amen. Man, John chapter 14. Let's look there, please. By the way, Darren, that was a great message last week, too. Called The Point. In fact, we would have more people attending the church if I would text out or post on the website that Darren's preaching instead of me. I understand. I know you still love me. Travis texted me and said, please let Darren speak more. Amen. Oh, thank you, Father. Well, I'm looking at you guys tonight. It's kind of like a haze this morning. Turn to someone you're saying, you're looking kind of hazy. Thank you, Father. I'm really on a mission. Since Sue told me I should have more fun when I preach. So, you don't have to worry anymore about me. Some of you had been thrown into an intense moments of fasting and prayer. Now you can relax. Thank you, Lord. The 14th and 15th chapter of John deal with what I'd call the progressive levels of growing spiritually. It's amazing how God takes us from plateau to plateau, from experience to experience, from revelation to revelation, from faith to faith. In the nature of the Lord, there's never a slowdown or a reversal. There's always a progression of what He wants to do. It's only we that could slow down what God wants. He is a man, if I could use the terminology loosely, He is a man with a mission. He's determined to create in you His image, to perfect you, so that you may become a revelation of His nature to the earth. God deals with each one of us without partiality. You know, he says he's no respecter of persons. If you're like I am, you could probably say, thank you, Jesus, for that, right? When the God looks at you, he doesn't look upon you with partiality or prejudice. He doesn't see your skin color, your background, what sex you are. He doesn't see your political persuasion. He doesn't judge you according to any of those factors, because he's determined to see you in the spirit, to look at your heart. Because he knows the heart really becomes the issue of who you are. It's a lot different than how we look at each other, because we look at each other through different lenses when we're looking in the natural than what God looks in the spirit at us. So somehow in this progression of understanding, he's God taking us out of this human level of evaluation into a divine approach to where we can begin to see like he sees, know like he knows, hear like he hears, speak like he speaks. And we move into this level with the Lord, depending upon not the works that we produce or the effort that we put into it, as we know effort to be. But the way we progress in God is entirely dependent upon our faith and our relationship to him. It's never by the works first. It's by the faith first. Works are the result of faith. Works are the outcropping of what a man believes. Righteousness always begins in the center of who you are, not on the outward man of who you are. So the righteousness that you have inside of you that comes from him, imparted to you by the Lord, transferred to you by his sacrifice, that becomes a manifestation through you in time. And so when you look in the Bible, you see that God doesn't choose, we choose. Many are called, but few are chosen. God has a massive call to all of us, right? He says, this is the way, walk you in it. And when we walk in the Lord, the level of faith that we reach into him determines the relationship that we have with him. See, relationships are always created because of an initiative by someone to create it. They just don't happen to you. If you feel unloved and unwanted, isolated, cut off, there's plenty of people to blame for that, isn't there? But really, there's no blame to be had. The only solution is in you, because you can create a relationship out of nothing by your faith. A lot of times I go through in life feeling like I'm not worthy, or that people aren't relating to me the wrong way. They're relating to me the wrong way. And it begins to irritate me until I realize I need to relate to them the right way. Because we can create something out of nothing. We can create something out of nothing. So I never give up on a relationship as long as there's still hope and faith. It's very difficult for me to give up on any of you. In fact, I hope it's impossible. I'll stay with you because Christ said this, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. And if I were Jesus, the way that I've been, I know in the past, I would have probably given up on myself quite a long time ago. Amen. How many have ever felt like you've given up on yourself? Man, I've felt that many times. I think, man, why am I even pursuing this? Because look who I really think I may be. And when I look at the nakedness of who I may be, if I look at the stripped down version, I begin to think, I don't deserve this grace. But when I can see through the eyes of God, I can see that the grace of God is sufficient for every one of my needs. That His grace is greater than my failure. Everybody say, His grace is greater than your failure. Grace always triumphs over judgment. So we don't need to suffer the consequences of judgment unless we choose it. How many love judgment? I don't. I love grace. How many love bondage? No, we love freedom. How many love despair? No, we love joy. And we see that in the New Testament, there was always those that went just a little bit further than others. Do you know that God has called you and separated you to go further than others have gone? Peter, James, and John were part of the 12 disciples. Did you think God loved all those 12 equally? Yes. What separated Peter, James, and John is because they chose to draw near. They chose to have faith above the rest. It didn't diminish the rest and what they were, but they were elevated into a greater understanding of who He was. See, this morning with this crowd, every one of you have a perception of who He is. Some of your perceptions are equal. Others are different. But the perception's not determined by what He is, because He's already declared who He is. He's already demonstrated who He is. He's already made provision of who He is in the whole equation. The only thing that changes is your perception of who He is. So some are drawing near, while others are staying the same place. So the Peter and James and John, because of their heart's desire to know Him better, they were able to witness His transfiguration. See, revelation is never withheld from any of us, but it's revealed to us as we draw near to the Lord. We become more acutely aware of who He is. I need to read the scripture. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. This is not a memorial service. Right? I'm not going to kill you at the end. You're all going to walk out of here full of life. Say, happy days are here again. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And we know the translation that's really the pure translation of that, in my Father's house are many places to abide. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and I prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there may you be also. See, I hope when we get through with this message this morning, you will come to the conclusion that I've come to. Is that this isn't speaking about another place, somewhere over the rainbow, somewhere beyond the clouds, somewhere in another universe, somewhere in some ethereal position way up in the heavens. And when you begin to get this revelation that's not speaking about somewhere there, but somewhere here, it begins to change who you are. Good book, Kingdom Now. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. How many want to go to the Father? See, there's three parts to this Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right? Those three are one. But they're all individuals at the same time, for they all have a specific purpose in what they do in what we call this creation. So he said, I'm going to take you to the Father. I'm going to take you to this place to where you're married again, or you're joined again with this one that loves you more than anyone. I'm going to connect you now to this Father the way I'm connected to him. You know, John chapter 17 says, I and the Father are one. And I pray that you will also be one with this Father. That you'll be in him and he will be in you. This divine connection of oneness is the most fabulous thing that we could comprehend about who God is. Most of the church is not so concerned about this. They're more concerned about who they are instead of concerned about who he is. Because when you find out who he is, then you'll find out who you are. Jesus said, and I'll read it, so I won't misquote it, okay? How many are glad that I'm intelligent enough to read? I've actually heard preachers before that couldn't read. And they had a guy standing next to the preacher, and the preacher would say, read the book. So the deacon would read, and then the preacher would comment. As I grow older and my eyes grow dimmer, my hearing is not as acute as it was. Darren will be standing here, and I'll say, read the book. You'll know it's about all over but the shouting by that time, right? But, you know, I'm not getting older. I'm getting younger. What do you tell people when they say to you, how old is your pastor at your church? I hope you lie a little bit. I don't know. He looks pretty young to me. I looked in the mirror the other day and I said, that's not me, is it? Sue said, yep. One thing about being married, you don't get much honesty from most people, but you get a lot of honesty from your spouse. Spouses have a way of being brutally honest. Just when you think you're all high and mighty and spiritual, just when you think you've reached the clouds of heaven, when you feel like you're walking on water, you feel like that anything you say is like liquid honey coming out of your mouth. You feel like people are spellbound by your presentation, then your wife speaks to you. Reality. That's the beautiful part about relationships. It creates something in us that's greater than what we were. Because the thing about it, relationships challenge the heck out of us. Getting to know somebody is hard. Sometimes it's like going to the dentist. And going to the dentist without medication, without deadening. Yuck. Can you imagine getting a root canal without any deadening? Gina, you probably, so Gina works at the dentist, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Sometimes that's what it's like to be married. Getting a root canal without any deadening. Sometimes that's what it's like to be a pastor. Pastoring the people. Sometimes they give you root canals without any deadening. At least when you expect it. At least we could get warning about all these trials that we go through, couldn't we? If someone would give me a heads up, I could pass every trial with flying colors. But the Lord, no, he doesn't do that. He surprises you. He sneaks up on you and let someone say some word or say some action, or just when you're least expecting it, when your guard's down. And then out of you comes all this junk. And you say, oh my God, where did that come from? Ooh. Oh. Mm. Ah. Yeah. Yuck. Yuck. Mm. Okay. I know that was a great revelation to most of you. Philip said, Lord, show us this Father, and then we'll all be happy. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long, Philip, and yet you've not known me? Philip, Philip, listen to me. He who has seen me has seen the Father. And now you're saying, show us a Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? See, if you really knew who was with you right now, it would freak you out. If you really knew who was sitting beside you right now, you would be like, wow, it's blessing time. You'd say, how many people in the church said, man, we've got to find God. We've got to press in until we break through to his presence. I know what you mean. That's okay. But really, he's here, ready with you now. It's not some place. It's a plane of existence. It's a realm that's all around us. In a restaurant the other day with my friend Roger, and we were eating a ribeye. That's about as close to heaven as you can get and still be in the flesh. And I reached across the table and I held his hand. I looked in his eyes. I said, I love you. You're my friend. The minute I said that, we're looking eyeball to eyeball, and all of a sudden, shoo, came in front of us, and he jerked, and I jerked at the same time. He said, did you see that? And I said, yes, I did. An angel came right in between us. Wow. I just have a feeling that angel was just standing there waiting to have an entry moment. You see, because we were getting in the Spirit together, there was a manifestation of his presence. That's cool. It really is. He said, let me show you this. He said, I was out of town the other day and was worried about my wife being alone. I have this security system around the perimeter, and anytime there's a motion outside, my phone beeps off. And he said, sometimes there's a lot of false beeping because there's deer and stuff like that roaming around, coyotes or whatever, armadillos, squirrels, all manner of creepy things. And he said, 3 o'clock in the morning, beep, 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 the phone went off, and I ran to look to see because I wanted to make sure it wasn't an intruder. And he said, there was this great big ball of light. And he said that it just moved into the house. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's great. You know, and I'm not skeptical, but I'm thinking, you know. But then he sent me a picture of this thing. And you blow it up and there's all this substance in there. So I'm asking this morning, where is the realm of spirit to you? Somewhere over the rainbow, somewhere up there. Mm-hmm. Or is it here? Did you know, if we would freak out if right now we were able to see what's here. I was telling my wife and Jennifer at the house about this story the other day, and the minute I told them, all of a sudden I started walking out of the room where they were, and there was an angel here and an angel up there. I said, wow, this is neat. It's all around us. I'm not saying that to make you excited about that, but to make you aware that the Father is here right now. That Jesus is here right now. That the Spirit is here right now with us. There's no separation other than our unbelief that keeps us from understanding that. The moment you engage it is the moment you have it. The moment you engage with the Lord is the moment you become acutely aware of who He is and the presence of the Lord. And I'm not going to be able to get through this message because I hadn't even got started. I'm long-winded. What can I say? Who has seen me, seen the Father, verse 9. So how can you say, show us the Father? And he said, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Where does the Father want to be glorified at? In, say it with me, in the Son. Now, we know in Romans it says, now God is bringing many sons to glory. Many sons to birth. God wants to be glorified in you, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to find himself embedded in you. He wants to have his DNA printed on you. He wants to replicate who he is in you. He wants to be to the world in you. That's the powerful thing, isn't it? I had this happen the other day. I went to this medical procedure, and I won't go into the details because I don't want you to know my personal medical history. Besides that, you probably wouldn't want to know this one. If that'll give you any hint. So I went at 6 a.m. in the morning to this pre-medical. And this is nothing wrong with me. This is just a checkup thing. Just want to give you that assurance that I'll still be here next week. And the week after. And the week after. Lo, I'll be with you always. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Even when my time comes that this physical body is no longer here, I'll still be with you. Hebrews 12:1. Now we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Hallelujah. That are always with us. Well, one day, bless God, we'll go see that my mama and my daddy in heaven. Mama and daddy are here now. Hallelujah. They're with you now. Woo. That brother, that sister that went on, they're with you now. They ain't somewhere off across the rainbow, they're here with you. They're just on a little bit different plane. In fact, we really don't want Christ to come in. People say, man, if we could just have one service where Jesus would manifest himself. We're asking him to step down on a lower level than what he's obtained to. Because what he's done now is something far greater than what he was. Now he's revealed in a many-membered body. He is here. That's why I love coming to church. That's why I love gathering. I said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Some do. When people don't assemble together, what they do, they're shutting themselves off from the life of Christ that's in their brothers. There's nothing worse for you than isolationism. to separate yourself. Well, I'm going through it, brother. I'm going through this. I'm going through that. I'm going through this. So I'm just not going to go to church. Well, you're just cutting off your nose to spite your face. The very thing that will help you and free you and liberate you is waiting for you among your brethren. There's where your salvation is. That's where Jesus is. That's where the Father is. That's where the Spirit is. He's with us. Woo. Everybody said, that's good stuff. Wow. Because we know the whole kingdom is built in relationships. So anyway, I had to get up at 4:30 in the morning. And you know, for almost thought I forgot the story. I took my brain pill this morning. So I remembered it. I actually do. I take brain pills. It's called the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. So I walk in, and I'm not my usual cheerful self. How many are not usually your usual cheerful self when you have to be in an appointment at 6 o'clock in the morning? I mean, I like to sleep to 7:30. Some of you get up and hit the rush hour traffic. I don't. I sleep. Lucky me. So these two ladies are there, and I'm nice to them, you know. They're nice to me. We go in and do this procedure. And after I get through in the room, they're, of course, not in the room. I dress and go out. And this one lady says to me, wow, I need to tell you something. I haven't talked to them about Jesus. I haven't talked to them about nothing spiritual. She said, my friend here was really going through it the last 2 days. I don't know if she used the word going through it. That's what we use in church, right? Going through it. She's really been having a hard time with some issues. Real depressed. And she came to work today just really down. She said, she told me just now, by you coming in here this morning, something changed. And the friend standing right there, well, she's telling me this. And she starts smiling real big. She said, yes, I don't know what happened, but something changed. All this burden is gone. I said, come here, honey, and give me a hug. So she came over and hugged me. And like most people, it's like magnets. You know, you bring two magnets together, beep, touch, repel, touch, repel. So she hugged, and she immediately began to pull back, and I held on strong. Now, some of you younger guys, that won't work for you. But it works for me. So I said, you cannot leave for 15 seconds. Because a 15-second hug can change your life. Well, I'm hugging her about 12 seconds into it, and the other girl comes up and joins the hug. So they're both hugging me like crazy. And it went on for a long time. And they're both around 30-something, maybe teenagers to me. And so I even got a selfie. I'll show it to you later if you want me to show it. Can't show it on the screen today. A selfie of these two girls just beaming with joy. And that's when I wanted to have my Austin Cathedral, your welcome card. But I didn't have it with me. So I came back. She's telling you instantly, I told Cheryl, get those cards printed right away. Because I want to make sure that next time I have my AustinCathedral.com card with me. Ron, you should take some of these and use them. Ron drives this fancy sports car. You should go out and listen to Ron's car after church. Let him rev it up for you. This guy has gone crazy. He's driving this Camaro with a 500-and-something horsepower engine. And he's got Harley Davidson mufflers on it. Wow. And you can't miss it. It's right out in the front. I don't think he wants anyone to see it, but it's right out there in the front when you walk out the front door. He kind of hides it in the background right in the front door. But, but it taught me something so beautiful the other day because I didn't go in talking about Jesus. I didn't go in and say, hey, girls, do you know the Roman road? Do you know the wages of sin is death? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And if you'd only confess your sins and to the Father right now, you could be saved. None of that stuff came out of my mouth. I didn't go in and say, hey, I'm a preacher. Bless God. The righteous man is here. You know, in fact, I don't like to tell people I'm a preacher because most people don't like preachers. So, I've learned that from knowing you guys. And so, so I don't tell them I'm a preacher because people have all kinds of images of what preachers are like. Some people think preachers are televangelists. Some people think preachers are weird priests. Some people think preachers are money hungry. Some people have all kinds of concept of preachers. And so I didn't say, I just want to be a brother. I just want to be him. I just want to be the Lord. And so that was amazing to see the freedom that came to these two ladies because the presence of the Lord. And I didn't feel spiritual. I just somehow this stuff gets in you and it oozes out of you. How many want to become a great oozer for God? I'm going to say I'm a great oozer for God. My Lord, I have never going to get close to this. I got to at least get through the scripture. Wow. If you do, ask anything in my name, verse 14, I will do it. Amen. I will do it. Wow. You see, a lot of times we go through motion. Well, you know, we lift up our eyes. Oh, Lord, there you are. Well, that's okay. They did in the Bible, too. But we're not having to project our consciousness to someplace far off. We're simply drawing near to the Lord in our spirit. And in that, his spirit's revealed through us. You can change the world around you. You can influence the atmosphere. Everybody say, I'm an atmosphere influencer. Everywhere you go, the atmosphere can change. I want to encourage you this week, when you go in someplace, draw his presence into that place. You don't have to go in and tell someone, well, here I am, I'm from God. No, you go in and you just say, Lord, you're in me, and I'm in you. I want to touch that person. I'm going to let something come out of me to them. Wow. Who is this man that's walking among us? Who is this one that the light comes out of him? You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. The Lord's saying to you, come up a little higher. It's not a distance thing. It's simply a higher spiritual plane that you can live on. You say, well, I'm afraid I'll get too fanatical. I'm afraid I'll become like Justin. You mean I'll be like Harry? You're going to become like something. It's going to come out of you the way it's supposed to come out. Some of you might act that way. Some of you might not. You know, I don't act that way. See, if you've been raised, it says Colossians, with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Where are you, Christ? Where are you seated at with the right hand of God? Where is it? Lord, maybe I can apply for the astronaut program and go find you there. No, he's seated right here in you. Where does God dwell? Where does God dwell? Asking a question, where does God dwell? It says, he dwells in the heart of those that are humble. says that in the book of Isaiah, doesn't it? Where does it say that, Darren? Yeah, read that book, Darren. Tell me. I know it says it. If it doesn't say it, I still believe it. See, we're going to live on a higher level of love than we've ever lived. A higher plane of love and existence. See, the church was never brought out and birthed to become a battleground. A lot of people think the church is only here to exist to do warfare. But that's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to become the manifested presence of His love to the earth. Does that mean we discount all warfare? No, I'm not saying we do that. But that's not where we live, is in warfare. We live in His presence. We live in a higher place. We're being brought forth to be an exhibition. Listen to this, an exhibition of His grace. The grace that has the ability to reach out on a level that's not human in its understanding or judgment, but a spiritual level to bring connection to someone that needs it. To connect them to who He is. See, I'm like Jesus in this sense. I'm a mediator of a new covenant. I'm here to mediate between that which is lost and who the Father is, to bring them together. I'm like the Spirit in some aspects. I'm here to demonstrate through the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Lord, the wisdom of God. I'm here to demonstrate who Christ is, to bring glory to His name. God gives you gifts, never for your own edification, but to bring glory to the name of Jesus. I'm here as a father as well. Not only as I'm a Christ, the connector, the Spirit, the revealer, but I am the Father that brings an inclusion to someone's heart to make them part of what we are. The Father is that which gathers His children around Him. That have been brought forth by the sons and by that which the Spirit works through the sons. If you only knew what you had today, it would freak your mind. If you even knew the fathers that are among you, it would freak your mind. You know, most generations reject fathers because they think fathers are old-fashioned or they don't know really what's going on. But the Father Spirit is on the earth today to bring forth generations like we can't believe. If we ever really unleash the Father Spirit, the wisdom that God will speak to us is incredible. When we unleash the Father Spirit, the transformation that we go through will be so rapid because we're taking and removing all the hindrances to what God can impart to us. Because He said, I'm going to speak a word to you, this word that's going to come from heaven. And the word that I'm speaking to you is like spirit and life. And you're going to be cleansed by this word. And it's like in John 15 talks about the vine and the branches and the fruit. When this word comes, it's going to purify you so that out of you, this branch that you are that's tied into this vine will come forth this fruit for all the world to see and to glorify His name. But it's going to come that your joy may be made full. There's nothing greater than the joy of the fruit that God reveals through you. When I drove away that morning from those two ladies at that clinic, my heart was overwhelmed with joy because all of a sudden I said to myself, this stuff works. This is real. These women were transformed. They're not fully transformed, but there was a transformation in them just simply because I was there and I know who I am. I'm nothing. But I know that in Him, as I plant myself into the vine, There's something can come out of me that's divine, that's life-giving, that's transformational, that helps the afflicted and the hurting and gives them life. It's not bad about what I preach to them, but it's what I become for them. Hear that? It's not about what I'm preaching to them, but it's about what I'm becoming for them. Christ didn't come to preach to us. He came to become something for us. See, you don't have to go out and try to make something happen for someone else. You just go and be something to them. You go there and love them with His love. It's not about you finding a ministry or you finding a gift. It's about you finding Him. When you find Him, all the rest comes. There's no working it up, training it up, teaching it up, pumping it up. It just happens. You become a pure expression of the nature of the Lord. So, yeah, but I don't feel like that. I know I'm not worthy. Of course, we know that. I don't feel like it either, and I'm not worthy. I can't do that. Yes, you can. You can do it. Just be it. You don't have to do it. Just be it. Whatever you ask in the Father's name, when you abide in Him and He abides in you, whatever you ask in His name, it shall be done. So you go into every situation with this faith that creates a place for you. It becomes transformative. You say, what does He do? He said, well, the branch is plugged into the vine. The branch begins to bring forth fruit. And then He comes along and prunes the branch. And we've talked about that in the past, and it can come very depressing when you think about it. Getting pruned. Who wants to get pruned? No, don't prune me, Lord. Well, don't look at it from a bad perspective. Just remember this. What God does with His Word is that His Word comes to create in you a greater place than what you dwelt in. So that when you thought you were bringing forth all the fruit you could bring forth, maybe whatever little amount it is or how big amount it is, get ready. God has more. Because He wants to increase the fruit in your life. The more you yield yourself to His Word to let this cleansing thing take place in your heart, the greater the potential you begin to have to manifest something that you can't even believe. So out of us can begin to come this flow of life to the world around us. Yes. prune it, Lord. Let Your Word come nigh my heart. Cleanse my heart to new levels. The greater you open yourself, the more He becomes real to you, to become something greater in you. And He said, I want Your fruit to come forth mucho. Mucho fruit. And then I want Your fruit to abide, to remain. See, the fruit that remains is the fruit that's connected to the vine through the branch. What's true evangelism? Not just telling someone about Jesus. Not just healing someone. Those are good. But connecting them to the same vine you're connected to. Amen. That's true evangelism. This is going to be a great week for you guys. You're going to walk out there thinking, hey, guess what? I know the Father. And guess what? The Father knows me. Guess what? He's in me and I'm in Him. We're one. And we as a people, we're a unit. We're a perfected oneness together. Guess what's going to happen in the church when the church becomes one? Wow. We haven't even begun to think. We see, we keep thinking evangelism a certain way, but God has a whole different thing He's got in mind for us. The evangelism we've done is fine. Bless God for it. Don't disdain any of it. But just remember, there's something greater coming. thinking, whoa, when God really breaks loose and there's this manifestation from heaven, there'll be evangelism. Yes, but that's not what the real evangelism is. The real evangelism, when he breaks through into us, we become that. That becomes the evangelistic tool of the Lord to the earth. Some of you are going to be bringing so many sheaves with you that it's going to weight you down. You're going to say, God, don't give me any more people. Let me have a break. I'm able to deal with too many people at one time. I mean, every one of you should get ready. Every one of you should get ready to have a few, scores, hundreds, or even thousands of people that you are shepherding in the days of his harvest. That's how intense it's going to be when the revelation of God to the earth becomes real through you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. When that becomes real, get ready. Get ready. Wow. Get ready, angels. We're going to put you to work. Get ready, cloud of witnesses. We're going to lean on you all we can. Get ready, all you that have gone before us, because they're all proclaiming this is the day. This is the day. Hallelujah. How many enjoyed this morning? Let's all stand up together. Amen. Just hold your hands out for a commissioning. Father, I commission through Jesus' name all of us to receive this word. That you are in us and we are in you. That the dwelling place of the Lord is here upon this earth. Christ in us right now. Near us, in our hearts, even in our mouth. He is with us right now. Abiding here with us. And wherever we go, we're commissioned to go. Go ye there into all the world and reveal who the Father is through you. Make disciples of all nations. Go for the harvest. Go, and God will take you into places you've never been. You'll go into places you never knew you'd go. You'll meet people you never expected because your heart is to love them the way Christ loved them. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. I'll bless the Lord.